But it is surprising to me that as much as you are on the go and as few weekends as you actually have during hardly ever, especially during the fall, you get a full weekend and you get through one day and you're like, is it Wednesday already?
Yeah, ready to hit the fast forward button.
It's just like funny. I'm like, Jeff, you normally, I mean, like you work 7 days a week during football season and you get one weekend
off. Don't be in a hurry. Don't be in a hurry.
You got spoiled.
Maybe I just want to get away from you, but
don't be in a hurry.
Just kidding. Just kidding.
You have had to work with me in a lot of consecutive
days.
It's
been a lot of boat consumption. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
How much boat can you say?
You've been my favorite over the last, like, 2 weeks.
Oh,
you guys rotate, so.
Just catching strays for no reason.
We get hot in here.
Oh,
what's
man.
What's going on? How was y'all's evening?
Wonder Woman got her lasso of truth around you right now?
I think that's fair because he's been my favorite, too.
There were even.
Wow. Tell you what, I'm feeling the love this morning. I'm everybody's favorite.
I don't know when that's ever happened before.
But you'll say this. It's funny. You'll laugh because it's funny because we came in the office this morning and the first like six names that came up in conversation, Bo was like, this guy sucks. He's trash. I said, dude, I'm going to challenge you right now. The next name that comes up in conversation, you're going to say something positive about. And then Dylan walks here and he's like, I can tell Bo's in the right frame of mind. I was like, no, he's not. He's not in the right frame of mind.
He's conducting the hate train this
morning.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, the hate has been real this morning.
Yours is directed at people. I'm just tired. That's where the
I don't know. I felt like it was directed at me just a second ago. Like, I'm pretty sure I got squared up on that one.
No, it was there.
Anthony Joshua over there?
It could have been anyone sitting there. I just would have had to tee off on it. You know, it could have been Dylon smiling, and I would have been like, I hate a smiling face today. I'm just kidding. Man. Just kidding, Dylon.
Oh, man.
Wow. I told you were glowing this morning.
I'm just joking. You are always my favorite, and so is Day Day.
Okay, now you're just throwing out love. We all know you said what you said.
I'm not
You
now
said what you said.
Lying to them. Why would I lie to them? What did you guys do last night? How about that?
Oh, my God, I slept. Watched Monday Night Football and slept, man. I was exhausted, obviously, after the long Sunday night, and I had to get some Z's. My wife, her birthday's in a few days. She went out with some friends to celebrate. So I did daddy duty, and, I mean, the minute my kids hit the bed, I was done.
I got an issue. But first, I did cook some. I pulled out the Weber last night because I didn't get to grill Sunday because I was obviously working. I did some chicken thighs on it. Man, those things are so good in a little fire shire and the rub that I make. But I got to ask you guys a real question. I got a new computer chair. In fact, I blame Mike for all of this.
You say computer chair.
Yeah.
What is this chair for, really?
It's a gaming chair.
It's a gaming chair.
Yeah. But it masks.
Computer gaming chair.
It's a computer chair that masks as also. You can, you know, anyways, it's...
Does it have a seatbelt?
No.
Okay.
It doesn't have a seatbelt because it's not in a car.
Wait a minute.
It doesn't have a seatbelt.
These simulator seats...
Some of them have seatbelts, yes.
Seatbelts and steering wheels, Tiff.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? It's all good, though.
The chair doesn't have a steering wheel. Anyways.
Go ahead.
And you always start putting something together by putting the base together, right? And I'm trying to put the screws in the base and... None of the holes that they have for the screws to go in are big enough for the screws, for the specific screw that they have.
Mm.
So I put the chair together without any screws in the base.
Mm. Okay.
But why do they make the holes too small for the screws?
American made?
Good question. Mm. Don't know. Probably not.
Yeah.
Because in America, we make the holes big enough.
I was going to say, that's where you want to start, probably. Probably a discount. It's all good, though.
But I'm going to call them. I'm going to call them and tell them the screws don't fit the holes.
You know what else happens? Americans make it work. You'll get in there and you'll figure something out.
I did. Right? I just put the chair together and said, I'm not fat enough to break it.
That's what happens.
This hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan Injured. Hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. All right. Coach Raheem Morris for your Atlanta Falcons, he addressed the media yesterday. And guys, I know one of the big topics that came out of the game as well was that fourth down play, the run to Bijan, right? I know I see you kind of wincing your face.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of I'm interested in this cut because, Tip, there's been a lot of speculation about what the call was made and why.
And if it was collaborative and – There are a lot of questions, so Raheem Morris answered those. Take a listen.
In that particular situation, it was very collaborative. You know, that was a lot of time. That was us looking at keeping him off the field, that guy. That was us thinking we can get this first down with the plays that we had designed throughout the week. Then our short yardage plan, and obviously it didn't work, but that was not a self-made decision by any means.
I think this is interesting, too, if you listen to this. And this, I don't think a lot of people understand how these dynamics kind of work sometimes when it comes to NFL and game planning. All of the systems that I was ever around, and that's probably two or three different ones in college and two or three different ones in with the Falcons, they all involved somebody other than the offensive coordinator making the short yardage game plan, right? A lot of times, and people don't understand this, a lot of other times when you have goal line packages, those come from an offensive line coach or a running back coach that are putting those game plans, because what they do is they go in and they personally scout the situation. Now the offensive coordinator goes over it and it kind of fits into what you want to do overall. But of all the situations I was around, probably around six different offensive coordinators, I'd say five of them left short yardage and goal line game planning to somebody else on the staff at the beginning of the week, and then kind of merged into it themselves to allow themselves understanding of situational, football when it came to the defenses you'd see.
All right, now I want to ask you this then, because there was Bijan said after the game that it was an audible at the line to that fourth down play where hear me out for it, because is that a situation where you call a couple? Do you know that you have a couple of plays in that with that personnel grouping? In that formation, you have basically one or two calls that you've put in that week that you have to, and if Kirk sees something, he checks to it.
It could be one of two things. First of all, it could be a kill. You could come up to the line of scrimmage with two different plays. You could have one called, and then you could have a kill play, which is pretty much just in your back pocket. Like if you want to run a play to the play, to the right side B gap, that's your original play call. If you come up and there's three different guys in the right side B gap, you could see the quarterback kind of put his hands down and say, kill, 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 kill. And then the ball goes left for whatever reason. You could also, and I don't know this because we haven't seen this staff together enough, you could also just simply have a package at the line of scrimmage out of that formation to where, and this happens in 2 minute a lot, where you just have 10 plays. And in 2 minute, you get in the same formation, you go 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, right? So you can go fast. You could have that in a short yardage where you all line up in that situation, whatever it is, power T or whatever else you want to get. And say, hey, we have five plays out of this formation, and Kirk walks up, looks at the defense, and says, hey, we're going to run three. That could be one of the two things. I don't know. We haven't seen this staff enough to know, but those are definitely two situations I was involved in that would make sense to me, given what Bijan's words were.
More Falcons on the way, and some SEC talk surrounding quarterbacks, some changes going down in Oklahoma, and we'll get you set for a little game this weekend, Alabama, Georgia. We'll be right back here on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. I think we discussed this yesterday during Mike Dub, if Alabama, Georgia, if this was like a rivalry. Did we talk about this in our show?
A little bit. Yeah, we sprinkled it in there.
And I felt like this superseded that, right? This is beyond a rivalry just because it's two, like, as I put it, like juggernauts. Two really good programs just happening to be playing each other that have done so on occasions in the past. But I don't look at it as being a rivalry like, Georgia Tech or something like that.
Yeah. I thought it was interesting how hard Drew went in and said it was.
Yeah.
Honestly, in
I just
crossover.
Don't agree with him. Because
not taking away from it.
It's not taking away from it. It's almost like it's bigger than a rivalry.
Their matchup's been so sporadic that it's hard to say rivalry.
Well, that's honestly the point for me. That I think Mike, you nailed it with that. I think Florida Alabama from the early '90s through till probably but really recently when Florida became just a debacle of a program. You could have called that a rivalry because they always seem to meet and play each other for an extended amount of time, and they played each other during the regular season regularly. Georgia has and Alabama have hardly played at all in the regular season, and all of a sudden recently they have started meeting in bigger games.
Now, granted, I don't know. I wouldn't know the history of Florida Alabama before 2004, 2003, as much as you. But I mean, I would say that those are very, very comparable situations.
They played basically each other for the first five SEC championships, 92, 93, 94. They didn't in 95, but they did in 96. They did again in like 99. But they've also were playing each other in the regular seasons, and then they played each other throughout that time frame during the regular season. Then they heated back up for a few years.
Yeah, we played Florida in 05 and 06 when I was in school for sure, and I think they matched back up in 10.
The 05 one was brutal. That was the blowout, and then that was Urban's first year, the Tyron pro throw injury.
Do you remember what happened in the 2023 SEC championship game?
Oh, I do. That was Jalen Milroe had a big run in that game to seal the deal, and Alabama – but those two of the fastest perimeter defenses I remember ever seeing in that game.
You want to talk about turning them guys back into the shoot the way we talk of Raheem Morris and the Falcons? That was a big deal in that game for sure.
So now the big question for the Dogs is how can they try to stop Jalen Milroe? That's something Kirby Smart talked about. He said he's a different football player. He's as different of a football player in college football as I've played against in a long time.
I was listening to Cole Kublik talk about how they're using how they're using Jalen Milroe. You could watch the Wisconsin game, Mike, and see how they're using Jalen Milroe. It feels to me like Kalen DeBoer is one of these guys in his offensive systems. He goes, what fits you the best? Let's do that. When he first got Michael Penix in Indiana, he used him as a runner because of the talent around him. And then Penix obviously had some injuries. When he got to Washington, he was like, we got all these great receivers. Air it out. He's just trying. I feel like he is using they're showcasing Jalen Milroe to make him one of the best college players in the country.
Yeah, and I think the beautiful thing is they are using him in design runs. And honestly, I thought Bama did this in the SEC title game last year, but really were not willing to leading up to the SEC title game. It's one of the reasons I think they got in trouble against Auburn and had to convert 4th-and-31 because I don't think they designed run for Jalen Milroe. But in the Georgia game last year, a lot of that was let's get Jalen to the perimeter and he can run it if he wants to. He can throw it if he wants to. These have been like straight up empty backfield quarterback counter style runs that they've employed this year. So I think it's definitely a different dynamic. And honestly, it's a rivalry or it's not a rivalry. I think it's so interesting to look at these two teams with a different head coach in Tuscaloosa facing off with completely different game plans. There's a lot of the X's and O's science that'll be going on this weekend, especially with game day in town and everything else.
But you also talk about the growth of the quarterback, the growth of Jalen Milroe from being with Saban to now Kalen DeBoer. And I know when I had them against Ole Miss last year, Saban was talking to us about how just with Jalen, it was learning how to not feel like you had to do everything. You had to, not feeling like you had to be Superman and try to put the team on your back. So I think in that regard, too, in this small sample size of the college football season, we've seen a lot of growth in that area as well.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think he's grown on the deep ball. I think the receivers are probably better this year than they were last year. And I think that he's definitely the X factor in this entire thing.
Yeah, Ryan Williams is a guy, if you're Georgia, you might want to figure out how to defend because all he does is catch touchdowns.
Yeah, agreed.
On to some changes in Oklahoma. This on the heels of their 25-15 loss to fifth-ranked Tennessee. Oklahoma will now start Michael Hawkins Jr. at quarterback on Saturday when they face Auburn. So that means Jackson Arnold will now be benched in his place. Is this the right decision?
I think it probably is when you look at how that game played out. Although I will say this. I think that you look at the end of the game and you look when he came in against Tennessee, did some good things. I also think that Tennessee very much kind of pulled their foot off the throttle a little bit. I'm not even sure how many passes Tennessee threw through the second half of that game. And so I think it allowed Oklahoma to kind of stick in there a little bit, maybe make things look better. But I have so many questions about this in an NIL era when this happens. It's kind of happening right now at Auburn. There's some back and forth and other quarterback situations. But I don't know how that all plays out. But I'll say Jackson Arnold did not look good. So I don't think they're losing anything by going to the other guy.
Well, Hawkins looked really good in the spring game. So this is, to me, this is a little bit of, I'm not going to call it a panic move, but it's a little bit of a move to appease some people because the offense has struggled this season so far. Jackson Arnold didn't play well against Tennessee, but I think as a whole, Oklahoma didn't play well against Tennessee. And I think this is one of those moves where, you know what, we lost a big game at home. Let's appease the fans. Let's appease, there's certain, I say not even the fans, but there's money people in these college programs that, and now more than ever, you have to appease with decisions you make with players that they may or may not be funding through NIL. I think this is one of them.
You mentioned a big loss at home. Another team that had a big loss at home was Auburn. And Hugh Freeze, as they get set to take on, again, Oklahoma, and now Michael Hawkins Jr. as the starting quarterback there. Auburn fell to Arkansas on Saturday, 24-14. And so he felt like they lost to a lesser team. And you are shaking your head.
Yeah, because he literally goes up there and says yesterday, I mean, no offense to, you know, Arkansas. I love Sam. I hope he wins the rest of his games. But I'm telling you, the truth is, if we play them nine more times, we'll beat them nine times. Well, hey, coach, you didn't beat them the first time. The only time you played them. The only time it mattered. Hugh Freeze consistently says stuff that makes him sound idiotic.
Like, can he say this stuff? After, can you say that as a coach after you take an L?
No.
Let me tell you the worst problem with all of this. And I don't know if you guys saw Bo Wallace, his former Ole Miss quarterback, go on a tangent about Hugh Freeze and basically saying that, yeah, Hugh Freeze used me up. I got loaded up with painkillers and everything else to play quarterback for him, and the guy hasn't done anything for me since I lost contact with him. And essentially, it sounds to me like Bo Wallace, I think, is like a high school coordinator nowadays. And it sounds to me like he's probably made a couple calls, and Hugh Freeze doesn't want to talk to him.
Well,
and it's so interesting to me, too, because Hugh Freeze, after that game last week, threw those quarterbacks under the bus. And Bo Wallace was like, is it ever going to be Hugh Freeze's fault?
Well, you know, the hookers run up. They're not out there anymore once you graduated. I mean, somebody should have told Bo. I'm just saying. I mean, Hugh Freeze.
He spells his name the right way, by the way.
No, he doesn't. The burner phone. The burner phone's gone for the former Ole Miss players. They're only for Auburn players now.
It was so painful, though. I've heard from a ton of Auburn people that are like, "What is going on right now with this program?" It's a bad look from like six different directions.
Auburn and Florida have turned into the same program.
It's crazy.
Dumpster fires.
Well, there is chaos when it comes to the Pac-12 trying to expand, and then the Mountain West. It looks like they're kind of in survival mode. Utah State now defects from the Mountain West. And then AAC schools are now kind of like not interested. There's a lot happening. So the Pac-12 is trying to expand on the heels of adding Boise State, Fresno State, Colorado State, and San Diego State. But things took a turn on Monday. And that happened when they were rebuffed by some targets that they had in the AAC. So
It's crazy, and when you look at and to add on to what you're saying, the fact that there's seven teams both in the Mountain West Conference and the Pac-12 now leaves neither one of them being able to actually be an official conference until they add somebody else. This whole thing has gotten dumb.
You got to have eight, right?
This whole thing has gotten so stupid to me because it's never ending. It's a complete spin cycle, and somebody just – I don't know if it's a TV or I don't know who it is. Somebody just got to step up and stop the freaking madness with all this. It's stupid.
Well – They're a conference, but they don't have a they can't get a team into the playoff, right? Because if I'm not mistaken, the Pac-2 has a TV deal with the CW.
So, and I'm reading this from CBS Sports. The new Pac-12 doesn't have a new TV deal for its seven current members who won't play together until 2026. The Mountain West current deal expires in 20 months. This goes on to say, in fact, sources tell CBS Sports both conferences have proactively sought out media partners without knowing for sure the makeup of their respective lineups. So it also is believed that the Pac-12 was pitching to those American schools a media rights deal that would pay $10 million to $15 million per year.
That would not make Clemson and Florida State very happy.
There's a lot going on here. Also, a lot going on with your Braves, Bo, sporting your Atlanta Braves gear.
Isn't that the thing you wore last year when we were at Falcons practice, and I think Terry Fontenot stopped by and was like, wow, you didn't have anything Falcons to wear?
Actually, this is a different one, and he just said, he goes, oh, went with the Braves hoodie today. And I go, yeah, short sleeve. Tell David Bassett to get me a short sleeve Falcons.
That's not what you said. Oh, wow. That's not
that is what I said. That is what I said.
Making all this bravado up.
All right, Braves on the way. It's a TV's timeout.
It's a confidence.
We'll be right back here on the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan. Injured? Hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Well, we'll have to see if Bo wearing his Braves short sleeve hoodie will bring them any luck as they go into a matchup against the Mets. Trying to make this
like
push.
I feel like she stung you right there. Short sleeve hoodie.
It's my Bella hoodie.
Are you a short sleeve button up kind of guy? Because that's
nope.
The one thing I cannot pull
off. No. Don't like it. Don't need it. Don't ever want it. It's not my
Maybe
thing.
Maybe you're not finding the right one.
No, I don't
Are
like them.
Are you okay
them.
When guys
don't
wear
like
short sleeve button up?
It's not an arrogance. It's a confidence.
Depending on how it's filled out. Like, if it's not like, you know, what you asked.
Well, I tell you what. You make no bones about it.
Are they chesty enough for that thing? They got tailored sleeves on that button up.
Tiffany basically don't wear what she don't care what you're wearing as long as you look good enough.
That's
what you just said.
I'm trying to talk about the Braves here.
How often do they work out?
Do you like this kind of shirt? As long as it's filled out.
You know what I mean?
I didn't even say it that creepily.
Oh, I mean, that's what I heard.
I was just talking about a fashion thing. That flipped quickly.
Making me sound like a creeper.
Just like, he might not have had the chest to wear that.
Yeah, you know what I mean? How much does he bench?
I think everyone should know their limitations. I know mine.
You know what I mean?
That is true.
I'm not even going to go there.
Hey, everyone wants another limitation.
I'm curious now, but I don't want to know.
I'll throw it not about... how I look, but I'll just throw out, like, dancing. I know my limitations.
That's a good point.
I'm not going to embarrass my family.
I'm the same way.
You know?
That was a, yeah.
So. Yeah.
I don't know about you, but that was a big deal at my wedding. It was like, am I going to dance here? I'm not
a
dancer.
You did the slow dance, right?
Oh, yeah, you have to do that. But, I mean, like, you know, you want to make sure your guests are having a good time, and you pay all this money for a live band and everything else, and you're like, dude, I have to feel like I have to dance.
Our dance floor was pretty lit.
Yeah. The best thing that happened to me was my nieces wanted to dance, and they were, like, young, so it was, like, kind of a cool, like,
oh, you took
you know,
the cop out.
Yeah,
thing.
I took the cop
dancing
out.
Dancing with the kids where you don't really – you're allowed to not have rhythm dancing with the kids because they don't.
Exactly.
My brother-in-law is a pretty good dancer. Of course, Mark Zeno decided he was going to get on the dance floor and try to do whatever moves a colonel does. So it got weird on my dance floor.
I feel like I could see him trying to.
He's not a bad.
He seems like a robot guy.
You see, he would break dance like he would do like the worm or something like that. That's
somebody did do the worm, but I don't think it was Zeno. Zeno's not a terrible dancer, but he's also an Italian guy. So. It is what it is. Luis Severino is going tonight against the
Speaking
Braves.
Speaking of Italian guys.
he's getting the start tonight against the Braves. We got Schwellenbach. Severino's got two starts this year, four total, but two this year against the Braves where he's got through 10 innings, he's got 10 strikeouts, giving up four earned runs, a home run, 11 hits. So they have gotten runs off of him, but he's done a good job limiting the Braves so far this season. I think the key for me in this series is they played a tough four-game series just recently with the – I think it was four-game series against the Phillies where they'd won the series. They looked good, but they were tough games, Mike.
Yeah.
So, to me, I think if you could get to Severino early, maybe Texas bullpen early in the series, it could – bear well for the Braves.
No, and I think you're spot on, and I think that has to go through Michael Harris and Matt Olson, the guys who you and I and all of us have talked about them kind of being a catalyst for this Braves second half run, and it seems like it took forever to get there, but they're definitely lighting things up here recently coming off the weekend series. And also, Spencer Schwellenbach tonight, I really feel like you can kind of add to his legend that has become this year, right? I mean, you talk about everything that goes in and, you know, what he meant his last start out and what you feel like he can mean in this series. Spencer Schwellenbach can really elevate his status, I think, amongst Braves fans with a shutdown performance tonight. So I'm looking forward to seeing what he's able to do up there on the bump, and hopefully the Braves can start this series off and go ahead and get one leg up tonight.
Let's hit a TB's timeout.
What on? Oh, gosh. Oh, is she listening right now? I hope she is.
Okay.
Oh,
so,
dude, is she listening?
If you remember this 90s show, she's probably not listening right now.
But they were twins.
They were twins. And actually, not to make light of their situation, but one of the sisters came out, Tia, and said they're really not that close anymore.
Oh, I hate to hear that.
And so in light of that, there was the drama between my sister and I that I kind of touched on Friday.
Oh, I cannot wait for
this
story.
She was not speaking to me. Well, the silence was broken after some passive-aggressive text messages she'd been sending. I chose not to feed into that and never responded. But
it's so surprising for you, but
I said, cool.
Good for you, Tiff, for taking the high road.
So I chose not to feed into it. I think we didn't talk for like two weeks or two and a half. I talked to my sister like every day.
Yeah, she's a guiding light for you.
Yeah. Yes, she is. So this was over a suitcase taken to Europe. And I needed a large suitcase, an extra large one. She happened to have one, but she is very, very meticulous, like, about her stuff. I am more, you know, free. Like, hey, you want to borrow this? Sure, take it. Cool. She's never been like that. Ever since I was a kid, I would steal her clothes out of her closet. Mm. Any women listening out there with sisters, you know the drill. And it never stops. Being a little sister never stops, no matter how old you get. Just want to put that out there as well. So I borrow the suitcase, and it comes back a little dinged up, but it's not in bad shape.
A little. How many scratches we talking?
They can be buffed out with the buffer that came with the suitcase. Very minor.
What a suitcase. That's a buffer.
A nice suitcase that I sent the bill for. So she bought this large suitcase to complete her set. She's all about sets and everything matching. So of course, now one is potentially ruined. So finally yesterday, the silence is broken. She calls me. And we have different accounts of the story. Mm-hmm. Apparently, she says she called me or when we talked about the suitcase, and I let her know that, you know what, it may not be what it was when it left your house. And to my recollection, she sighed and said, I will talk to you later, and got off the phone in disgust. But to her recollection, she says there's a window that I could have said, I am sorry. But apparently, that never happened. She also said she asked me a couple questions. Did I wrap the suitcase? Because you can wrap it, I guess, so that it doesn't get dinged up.
You can wrap it in like Saran wrap or something?
Yeah, I don't know these things.
I don't either.
Yeah, so, I don't think I would even do that.
Anyway, so I just want to get to that. Now that the air is clear, the suitcase actually really is not in that bad a shape. Now I'm being told I oversold the state of the suitcase, which led to this drama.
She said that?
Yes.
Oh, wow. So she actually came to see you in person yesterday.
We have not seen each other, okay. But when I described what was on it, it could be buffed out.
Did you send a picture?
She'll see it. She'll see it. Am I at fault for borrowing a suitcase knowing it is going overseas and it is going to probably get dinged up in travel?
Yes.
Also, the fact that maybe did I guilt her into letting me take it? Possibly. Possibly.
Okay, can we start with what you told me yesterday was being delivered to you?
I'm getting a new suitcase from a different company. I slid into their DMs.
Dude, when I heard Tiff say yesterday she's getting a new suitcase, and I knew what was going on between her and her sister, I was like, wait. Did you buy her a new suitcase, or are you getting a new suitcase?
And when I told her I was getting the suitcase, that's fine.
Okay.
But I was also laughing because she wasn't speaking to me, and she would see me post about the suitcase. Thought there might be some issues.
Two things for me. I'm sure that... I'm sure sorry is not a word you say a lot. And if you had, it probably would have smoothed things over because your sister wouldn't know how much it meant. It would have meant a lot to her, I'm sure. However, yeah, you are a little in the wrong because you borrowed something that you knew someone was very, very in, like, they care. They're very caring of their things.
Very invested in, yeah.
And you borrowed it and then...
Knowing the risk.
Knowing the risk and essentially saying... Whatever, it's a suitcase, I don't care, but they do.
This is how I explained it to Tiff when we had this conversation. It's not her fault per se, but she was in possession, so it's like if you borrowed somebody's clothes and somebody spilled a drink on you. It's not your fault that somebody spilled a drink on you, but you were the one that borrowed the clothes. And so you're responsible.
But see, my argument to Mike was that I would go rush out and buy a new shirt because that was unexpected. But with a suitcase being checked... You've all seen videos of suitcases being
hipped off, the keg tossed. Yeah.
Kicked off the rack, all that stuff.
I think it's a great point.
That's a fair point.
I don't disagree with your point, but you knew what you were getting into when you borrowed said suitcase from someone who doesn't feel that way about any of their
report books. Back later on what her reaction is when she sees it.
Yeah, I will.
I think that's going to be the missing component.
If you move a coaster
here.
In her house, she knows it's been slid over an inch.
Good for
I
her.
I picked the wrong.
Wow, that's,
you know what's funny?
House is a museum.
My wife and her sister are opposite, and my wife's the younger one, and she's that way. She's the younger one, and she's more particular.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's completely flipped. Like her older sister used to borrow her clothes, and it would be a whole deal. Yeah. It was a whole thing.
Well, that is an interesting dynamic.
Yeah.
There's a lot of memes out there about little sisters and how nothing changes. All right. Well, hey, maybe you want to call me on a wake-up call and tell me if I'm wrong when we do that at 8 o'clock. Anyway, I'm right. When we come back here, we're going to give you more on the Falcons. And, yeah, we'll still recap a little bit of that Sunday night football game and also a glimpse ahead to the NFC South matchup against the Saints. Stay with us here on the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're in our 7 o'clock hour. It is brought to you by Zero Res, smart, lasting, clean. I just want to take a second to tell you how distraught I am. I was at the Bills 2 weeks ago. There was no corgi race then, but they did a corgi race for Monday Night Football. I'm a little...
What?
Yes.
A corgi race?
Little corgis with jerseys on. A little fluffy.
Dang.
They do them at the Falcons games, but you leave too early. Because you got to get back to the studio.
Usually leave at the two-minute warning. Yeah.
So everyone does corgi races?
Everyone does. Not always. It's not like every week, but they do. We do have them at the Falcons games. In fact, my favorite thing at the corgi race is there's always that one dog that just goes rogue. And he's like, hey, you know what? I'm not going to win this race, but I'm not going to let you win this race either. And just takes out the other dog. That's always the best.
Why did they not do the corgi race?
Who comes up with these things, man?
Sunday night or Monday Night Football?
Yeah.
Well, because Sunday we had Arthur Blank honored in the Ring of Honor. He was inducted into the Ring of Honor.
Yes, that is more important, absolutely, than
it would have
dogs.
Been. I tell you what.
I don't know.
It would have been appropriate to have hot dog night and have like a dog race. Yeah, or maybe a wiener dog race.
I got a TV because of these airwaves. If somebody wants to give me a French bulldog,
no, they're overbred. For free. We'll have a discussion on
what
there. We'll
let
have
that
a
man live, Tiff.
Yeah, I love Frenchies.
French
they're so
bulldog
cute.
That needs love. All them dogs need love.
A lot of breathing problems.
Not sure.
We will discuss.
I'm not sure if I'm going to give a man who refuses to pay for a second TV a free dog because I'm not sure what you're going to.
I didn't need it.
What you're willing to pay for the dog? You got to keep up with these animals.
No,
I would love the dog and give it everything it needs.
Although Dylan did work at a vet's office.
He did. He's a vet tech.
I'm qualified.
You are qualified.
I think he just checked people in. I don't think he really
I helped in the back, too. I helped dogs get their nails cut. I helped with baths sometimes. I helped because I was one of the few males that worked there, and so I provide a lot of the muscle.
So you were a glorified groomer.
What? I'm just going to leave
in some way, shape,
alone.
Or form.
I don't know why you continue to hype this man up. Right?
Leave,
he just stings you every chance
alone.
You get.
I'm going to leave all of this alone. And what we are going to do here is we're going to talk about... We're going to talk about the Falcons, okay? And how Raheem Morris talked to the media yesterday. Okay, with the defensive play, did you guys think that things kind of picked up for them in the second half of the game?
For the Chiefs?
No, for Falcons.
The Falcons. I thought the Falcons played phenomenally in the first half defensively. I thought the Falcons played good the entire game defensively. Yes, they gave up too many rushing yards. But when you hold Kansas City's offense to one explosive play through the air, that's phenomenal. When you hold Patrick Mahomes to 22 points, I think you've done your job. And you turned him over.
No, you have. Coach Morris, he assessed the play of the defense.
The play picked up. You know, we made some of the third downs a little bit longer, which is always helps. We're able to get after the pass a little bit better without the sacks. You're still able to hit them 8 times. I think we got hit 10 times. I think he got hit 8. I think they got 2 sacks. We had a wrap up and a grounding. But it's like we were able to create some pressure. We were able to get them to longer situations. We stepped up and played a little bit better on defense in the second half without tackling, which was really critical. Early on, they threw a couple of screens out there and RPOs, things of that nature, got a lot of yards, and it makes it 2nd and 1. A couple of situations got in the 3rd and short and 3rd and 3 in that window, 3rd and less. That's a tough life to live when you're playing Patrick Mahomes. And we got a little bit longer. We were able to get off the grass and really just gave ourselves and put ourselves in position to win.
I think the defense did play well, specifically in the first half. And you heard Raheem talk about some of the quick screens they tried to run early. I think we've got to be one of the better secondaries or perimeter defenses in the league at patrolling out there for the quick screens. But I don't know that we did a good enough job of keeping them off schedule. And you hear Raheem talking about that 3rd and 3 or less. That's a tough life to live against Patrick Mahomes, particularly when it doesn't seem like you can stop them from gaining 5 yards on the ground with their defensive front. So, I thought it mirrored a lot like I felt last week. I thought that last week, in particular against the against the Eagles. I thought you played a great first half. I thought that you played a great first half against the Steelers. It just felt like at times during the third quarter, the beginning of the fourth quarter, that you couldn't get off the field defensively. And I think that's where the sticking point will probably be for Jimmy Lake and company.
I actually think that's what he was referring to your point, is keeping them. I thought they did a better job in the second half, keeping them off schedule. And off, you know, that first drive where they don't even get the touchdown, it's interception. It was second and four a lot, or second and five, right? And that's ahead of schedule, honestly. If you can get 3 or 4 yards on first down, I think you're happy. Most offenses are happy with it. That's the one thing that we haven't done offensively, is stay right on schedule and be on schedule early. We did against the Eagles, I felt like, at times. But against the Steelers and against the Chiefs. Also, can I just say this? This is not excuse-making, and I know I'm kind of getting over here, but the Falcons have played in the first 3 weeks three of the best defenses they'll play all year. And I think that is safe to say, because the Steelers might be a top three defense in the league. The Chiefs, if you look at pressures and et cetera, they are the third best defense in the league. And then you go to the Eagles, and all they did was shut down at the time the best offense in the NFL in the Saints, and went into their home building and limited them to, what, 12 points.
Yeah, and I think just to piggyback on that a little bit, not only are you getting three of the best defenses in the league, you're getting three almost completely healthy defenses, because we are at the beginning of the season. It's not like we're getting down the stretch run and you're missing a safety or a starting corner or anything else. Like, these guys are reared back and ready to go to start the season. It makes me feel a little bit better. I wish we would have had a little more success. Obviously, I'd feel really good about it. But nonetheless, I'm just glad they're in the rearview mirror.
What about the time of possession on Sunday? Coach Morris was asked if the team prioritizes that or scoring points.
You know, when you're talking about that situation, you're talking about different factors, right? Minnesota's playing style of defense where they're getting the ball back a little bit more. They're doing some different things there, and they're able to score points, and like, they're getting more chunk yardage plays or whatever the case may be, and you got to find a way to get those things. So there's all kind of stats you can throw up. Maybe it'd be helpful. You know, there is no one way to do it. There's no one way to go about your business, but you definitely know what you want to improve, right? You want to go out there and improve your third down conversion rate so that it will allow you to keep the ball a little bit longer, to play a little bit of the soccer game that we are capable of playing, particularly if we get our run game going, and we can make it look like it did a week ago, when you can rush for the 150 type yardage as opposed to the 80s, where you can stay on the grass and really be able to dictate terms on how you want to play football.
You know what I hear from him, Bo? What I hear from him was, I'd take either one right now, and we're not good enough offensively to focus on either. And I know that the question kind of is, hey, which one do you focus on? You know what I hear him saying? We're not explosive enough offensively to get behind the chains. So I'd love it if we would just simply convert on third down, keep more time of possession, and end in a touchdown.
Yeah, when I heard that, I go, well, don't you have to be good at one?
Right. You're not prioritizing either, because, like, you're not good at either.
Just to even be asked the question, you have to be good at one or the other. And you're 25th in scoring, which might have gone up maybe a little bit, because you scored one more point than your average last week. You're literally hitting it 22% on third down, so you're clearly not possessing the ball because you're not converting third downs. I think there is explosiveness in this offense, because your drives have been quick. Like, when you have scored touchdowns, they've been quick. You look at the one to win the game against Philly, it was quick. You look at the one to open the game on Sunday, it was a 4-minute drive. You went 70 yards. You look at the one where they scored in the second quarter, I believe, with Bijan touchdown, it was quick. You got 50 yards of it on one play. And so their touchdown scoring drives have been quick. Now, they did have a drive in the third, I think in the fourth quarter, where they go from what, their own like 6 or 7 yard line, and they get in and then they turn it over on downs. They got nothing out of it. So at that point, you possessed the ball, but you didn't score. They are not putting long drives together, and then they're not converting in other opportunities. They're not even putting short drives to flip the field together right now.
Yeah, no, and it's, like I said, that's exactly what I'm kind of hearing in Raheem's comments right there. It's not like my mindset would be this, would be that. I think I hear him just saying, I'd take either one. I would take time of possession if we could put that together, and I'd take the points if we could put that together. He just doesn't sound like he thinks this offensive unit right now is to that point. And look, man, we can debate all day what should have been done or what shouldn't have been done last week. The bottom line is you just have to continue to get better moving forward. Like you said, we just played three of the best defenses in the NFL, and you have three of the biggest games of your season coming up right after that when you talk about these division games coming up. So one of those areas you need to grow in, and I think you could live with the other one. If you just start creating explosive plays and your time possession doesn't go up, I think you're fine. I think you can grow from that. On the flip side, if you can start possessing the ball for 35 minutes, I think if you're Raheem, it's like, you know what? I can take that too.
I also think when we talk about should he have kicked field goals, should he have not, is he too aggressive going for it? I think if you start possessing the ball more and having long drives, you're more willing to take a 45-yard field goal or a 35-yard field goal or whatever on fourth and one because – You're getting those opportunities and you're just stacking points now.
Let me flip that around on you and just ask you this. If he is presented with that same situation against the Saints, do you think he would do the same thing this weekend, given what he knows about how that played out and how your team's been in short yardage?
I don't think it had – I'm going to answer this question as honestly as I don't think it had anything to do with any of that on Sunday night. I think it had to do with who the other guy on the other side of the field was. And I think – that I like my chances more with Derek, and this is not a personal Derek Carr. I think Derek, I actually one of the few guys in this business that think Derek Carr's a good quarterback. The reality is, he's not Patrick Mahomes. And I'd rather put the ball in Derek Carr's hands than it ever be in Patrick Mahomes' hands.
Braves Mets, a preview of that matchup, and a strongly worded letter sent to one of the hard hitters in the NFL. We'll tell you what lies ahead for him next when we go in the huddle on the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Y'all remember this song?
Yeah, it's Firestarter by Prodigy.
I just feel like, wasn't that music video really weird?
Yeah, back it was. All their stuff was weird.
Yes.
They were a weird, kind of a weird band.
So you said the song is called Firestarter?
Yeah.
It's weird. It's labeled as Breathe.
Oh, this is Breathe. You're right. Firestarter is their other song.
Don't politely correct him.
I didn't know. I mean, the only I just picked the song and played it.
All Prodigy sounds the same to me. They had two hits.
I respect it.
Speaking of hits.
I bet Day-Day remembers Prodigy.
It's going to make a horrible transition. Talk baseball.
After I just screwed up Prodigy songs?
It's going to be really lame. That was a lame transition anyway. So Braves and Mets, the Mets in town to take on Atlanta tonight. That game, first pitch set for 7:20.
Yet Schwellenbach goes for us. Rookie, I'm gonna start calling him a sensation because I think he's been sensational this year. Going against Luis Severino, former Yankee, now pitching for the Mets. Look, Severino's already thrown two games. I don't care what he does as normal. You know, this guy wants to throw heat. He's got multiple pitches in the mid to high 90s, right? His cutter, his four-seam, and his sinker. This is a guy, though, that has pitched decently against you in two games this year. He's got 10 Ks in 10 innings and only given up four on runs. Now, he has given up 11 hits, but he's been able to get out of trouble. Some of that might be the Braves' struggles, Mike, at times this year to hit with runners in scoring position. I think you need to get to him early. I think they played a tough series against the Phillies. If you can get to him early, get in their bullpen, and maybe that would be a catalyst to take game one and hopefully get into their pen to where you can kind of lean on that during this series.
Yeah, and Tiff, the honest conversation around this is we've been talking since freaking May about whether or not we should panic about the Braves and even trickling into April, even though they were pretty good. And it's always been this team is flawed. They'll come around. The back of the baseball card doesn't lie. Eventually, these guys have to, you know, kind of revert to the mean. The statistics have to mean something. The pitching's been good. And all of that conversation just simply comes down to the next 3 days. And it's like we talked about yesterday just a little bit, Bo and myself. It's a playoff series. I mean, if you want to be in the playoffs, it starts right now. This is a playoff series, and the series against the Royals is a playoff series. It's as simple as that. This is the first round. We don't have to wait another week or 2 weeks or whatever it may be to get into that first round. This is the first round. If you want to be in the playoffs, it starts tonight.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of, I think it was 2002, one, two, or three. I can't remember one of those years. You had a similar instance, and I believe it might have even been the Mets. They had to come to town, and you had to beat them in a series to end the season to get into the playoffs that year, win the division. John Smoltz, who was on those teams and was a part of that magical Braves run back in the 90s, early 2000s, will join us at 8:20, and we'll talk about this series with him.
A Monday Night Football doubleheader. Let's get to the first matchup, and that was Washington against the Bengals. And Jaden Daniels leads them to a 38-33 victory. One of the biggest highlights, of course, was that incredible touchdown pass, a 27-yarder he made to receiver Terry McLaurin. And, I mean, it was perfect placement, perfect everything. Here's Jaden Daniels on that deep pass.
Yeah, cover zero and, you know, just give Terry a chance to go make a play.
Did he ask for that?
Hey, he said, "If you trust me," and that's what we did. I trust him.
Yeah, you can learn a lot about a quarterback, guys, in cover zero. Like, you can learn a lot when you know that they walk up, and I think it was seven or eight guys. It seemed like at the line of scrimmage, I think they dropped maybe one. He knew he was going to get hit. All right, and as a rookie, being willing to kind of stand in there and try to deliver a nice dime ball down the field to win the game, I think says a lot about kind of his demeanor. Listen, you're going to make throws, you're going to miss throws. You're going to have good games, you're going to have bad games. It's all about being consistent. But I think the one thing I can take away above all else from Jaden Daniels last night was the grit he showed. When that team walks up and goes, dude, we are coming to hit you right now, stands in there, delivers a perfect throw, I think it says a lot about what he's going to be moving forward for that team.
That's been the one knock on him, honestly, coming out of the draft, was that his build and then he takes too many shots because he's not afraid. The shot he took on that throw to McLaurin.
Yeah, he got rocked.
Dude. And he did not, and that was the perfect play because it was executed all the way around on both sides. I mean, the defender was there just a tick too late, but the fact that he didn't short arm that throw, that stood in there long enough to take it, and he got right back up. He is the best rookie quarterback after 3 weeks. Will he be at the end of their careers? I don't know, but there's only one rookie quarterback right now you should be talking about, and it's him.
And by the way, this all comes after he did not throw a single touchdown pass in his first two NFL games.
His first was to a big man, too. First time since 2005.
You got to love that. I was going to say, nor did any of the other rookie quarterbacks either. So they finally all got off the schneid this weekend.
That's right.
Yeah. On to the second part of the doubleheader of Monday Night Football, and that was the Jags at the Bills, and they got steamrolled in this one, 47-10. By the Bills. And so a highlight, of course, in that game was DeMar Hamlin, who recorded his first interception and his first Monday night start since he suffered cardiac arrest, as we all can remember, back in, I believe, late January of last year. So incredible story, incredible comeback. Got to be there for his first game, his first start of the season. And he talked a lot about just wanting to get back to some sense of normalcy, kind of just being a football player. Grateful that he made such a significant impact. When you see defibrillators, like, and donating, all of that stuff, and making bringing more awareness to how to save someone from cardiac arrest. But anyway, I just rambled there. Great to see him doing that.
I think it's important stuff that you said. It's cool this year because I felt like last year he was there, but he was inactive a lot. He wasn't getting a lot of playing time. This year, he is a contributor on that team.
Starting again, yeah.
Yeah, and it's really cool to see. It took him a year, but he's back and might be, honestly, playing better than he was when he got injured so far this season.
Yeah, no, I think it's such a cool story, too, and kind of flows right into what else we want to talk about. Just it was a bad throw. So,
Yeah. The Jags just completely blown out in this one. Again, 47-10. They fall to 0-3 on the season. And it has Coach Doug Peterson saying this: there has to be changes, whether it's play design, personnel, everything is on the table. Those are all things I have to look at. We have to look at as a staff and make adjustments.
Yeah, it's this to me goes right back to that interception you were talking about, Tiff. The Trevor Lawrence throw completely airmails the ball, and, you know, kind of just finds DeMar Hamlin. It was a good catch by him because he wasn't expecting it to be on him. He was expecting to kind of step up and make a tackle, and yet the ball just kind of hits him right in the hands, and he gets up and attempts to run it back. Trevor Lawrence has been bad, man. There's no two ways to slice it, and I think there's a reason you brought in a guy like Mac Jones to try to be able to elevate that entire room. Mac Jones, say what you want to about him. He started NFL games and has had some level of success going back to his rookie year. You bring him in, but then you put him in last night. He fumbles on the first play. It's just an ugly, ugly deal right down there in Jacksonville with a team that really expected to make a lot more noise than that. But you get absolutely routed in prime time by a team in Buffalo that just looks extremely good to this point.
Also, this two more stories to get to. This was coming from Jordan Schultz, and it was an update on Caleb McGarry, Falcons right tackle who left Sunday night's game with a knee injury, that he is considered day-to-day after undergoing further testing. So in Jordan Schultz's words, a sigh of relief for Atlanta.
Yeah, the Caleb McGarry news is good because I think there's a chance. Like, I think he misses this week. I'm just going to be honest with you. I think if, depending on how he feels during the week, it might not be a terrible move to sit him. Here's why. Guys, you play Thursday too. So you're going to play Sunday, and you're going to turn around and play maybe a better front in Tampa Bay on a Thursday night game on short rest. It might be one of those situations. Now, I don't know. It depends on how he feels, Mike. Right? But it might be one of those deals we do that. And you're also going to be missing Drew Dahman most likely this week.
Yeah, you'd probably be missing both of them if I had to guess. I think that's probably a good educated guess. Brandon Parker, they signed just a couple of weeks ago, would then slot in as the swing tackle. Storm Martin would get to start at right tackle. But I think no matter how you slice it, if this is a team that wants to improve in the run game and be more consistent, it stinks. All right. And so hopefully Storm Norton can fill in and fill that role. I think McGarry, to your point, I think he's got to be out this week. But with Thursday on the horizon, it's more important than ever to make sure you're getting some rest.
And this from Adam Schefter. Chargers safety Derwin James is going to be suspended one game for repeated violations of playing rules intended to protect the health and safety of players. And this, of course, is stemming from their game Sunday against the Steelers. In a letter to Derwin James, NFL Vice President of Football Operations John Runyon said this: during the third quarter of Sunday's Chargers-Steelers game, you were involved in a play that the league considers a serious violation of playing rules. The video of the play shows that you lowered your head and made forcible contact to Steelers tight end Pat Freiermuth. You had an obstructed path to your opponent, and the illegal contact could have been avoided. It went on further, but again, he will now not be back to return until Monday, September 30th, to the active roster, so he will miss their game on September 29th against the Chiefs.
John Runyon sounded angry in that letter. I saw the play. It didn't look like anything crazy, but Derwin James just has a history of laying those thunderous hits. I mean, he's been that way since college, since at Florida State. So I guess they're trying to send a message, but that particular play didn't stand out that much to me.
Well, it was more of a targeting type play than I've seen called in some college games this year. He did lead with his helmet. I just think you're right. I think this is a repeat offender thing, and they're sick of it. And they're out to say, hey, we're done. We're sick. We're over this. You know, shape up, or he might be. I don't know what could happen because it sounded like they were threatening him.
This hour brought to you by Zero Res, smart, last, and clean. What you got for Mike Dunn?
Well, Tiff, it's normally what you would call a top five Tuesday, but today we pivot. We're going to do something called Trivia Tuesday today. It's you versus Bo.
Why do you sign me up for these games?
Yes, because it's good. Because it's good. All right, you're not going to want to miss this on the other side. I promise you. Mike Dunn, Sports Radio 920. It's not top five Tuesday. It's Trivia Tuesday. You guys are going to love this. All right, are going to love this. You're going to love it, Tiff. Participation is key. Also, before I start, I know my guy Brett from Level Lawns is listening. My seeds, my fescue seeds in my backyard starting to sprout. Man, the kids will be playing soccer on it before you know it. So shout out to Brett from Level Lawns.
Can I say one thing?
Go ahead.
Like what my dad would say about training camp. It's voluntary, mandatory.
Well, training camp is mandatory.
That's what
I don't know if you knew that. Training camp is mandatory.
No, but he called not training camp.
OTAs. Sure.
OTAs.
Okay, if that's the route you want to go.
Voluntary.
Here's what we're going to do. All right, pay attention. This is what we're going to do. I'm going to ask you a question. Whoever wants to answer, this is going to be multiple choice. All right, so it's nothing crazy. Whoever wants to answer it raises their hand. Day-Day's going to have his eyes on y'all's hands to see which one goes up first. All right, here's how the scoring is going to work.
Just say our
if
names,
you get the right answer, no, because I don't want you to cut me off. If you get the right answer, you get 3 points. If you get the wrong answer, you're minus 1 point. All right, right answer, 3 point. Wrong answer, minus 1 point. Are we ready to play? All right, raise your hand if you know the answer.
What the heck?
Yes. All right. We're going to start with a little bit of NFL. I'm going to lower my voice right down here. The NFL leader in rushing yards has 351 rushing yards. 351. Is that person A, Saquon Barkley, B, Jordan Mason, C, Alvin Kamara, or D, Derrick Henry? The NFL leader in rushing yards has 351. Bo has now raised his hand. Bo, for 3 points.
Is it Saquon Barkley?
It is Saquon Barkley. That's 3 points for Bo. Nice work. Tiff is just hoping that he'd get minus one. She'd just stick right there. Okay, how about this one? Parenting. What age do most children say their first words? At what age do most children say their first words? Is it A, 2 to 6 months old? B, 6 to 10 months old? C, 10 to 14 months old? Or D, 14 to 18 months old? Tiffany has her hand up.
What was the B option?
B was 6 to 10 months old.
Yeah, that one. What the heck?
Tiffany is not correct. Bo, can he swoop in and save the day?
Well, is it C, 10 to 14?
It is C, 10
Those
to 14.
Those kids are not smart. Those kids, I'm serious.
I enjoyed that so much better than I thought I would. You're just talking, I mean, we're literally talking about a world average. And you're just talking about those kids are
so half the world are idiots.
That's literally, you're part of this.
Well,
you're part of this equation.
Up. They need to catch up.
Literally, you're
I'll
part of this
ask
equation.
I'm going to ask my mom. I bet I was in that first, second
Can't wait till she says you were like 14 to 18 right. months or something.
Here's one for you, all right?
Hate this
Question
game.
Number three. Who is the Braves leader in stolen bases? The Braves leader in stolen bases. Is it
A? Are you Googling things?
Is it A? You better not be looking on that.
Look, my email.
All right. Close the laptop.
I mean.
Is it A, Ronald Acuna? Is it B, Michael Harris? Is it C, Jared Kelnick? Or is it D, Ramon Laureano?
Wait a minute.
She's on her phone. She's on her phone.
Put your phones down.
I'm going to go with Jared Kelnick. I lost 1 point.
This season, or are we talking lifetime?
Talking this season, Tiff.
Oh. Braves Let's just go season. With Ronald Acuna, sure. Yeah, I'm back in the game.
You Googled it.
No, I didn't.
Take her.
No,
take
I didn't.
Her
I didn't. I Googled him. There was a man named.
Somehow Ronald Acuna is still leading the Braves with 16 stolen bases.
I didn't Google that one.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy. How about this
what
one?
Do I have 2 points?
Yes, you have 2 points to Bo's five. So you're in the ballpark.
Wait, how did he get five?
Well, he had a wrong answer, but he had two right. So it's 3-3 and then last one.
Oh,
yeah, just simple math. That's all right.
The other question.
Bijan Robinson, through three games, has 196 yards rushing. Through three games last year, he had A, 164, B, 190, C, 210, or D, 234. Bijan has 196 yards through three games. Through three games last year, he had A, 164, B, 190, C, 210, or D, 234. Tiffany.
Let's just go with A.
Tiff.
Why? I'm participating.
Bo, would you like to take a swing at this? Sorry.
Yeah, I'll go with B.
I know it's going to be my other option. Oh, okay, good.
Wrong, too. All right, there you go. All's fair. All right, how about this one? I was for two.
Are you
two?
Not going to say the right answer?
Oh, I'm sorry. It's C210. C210. Right.
So the score is 4-1.
Yes, it is. All right, the state flower of Georgia. The state flower of Georgia is A, the Sweet Bay Magnolia, B, the Cherokee Rose, C, the Pink Azalea, or D, the Oak Leaf Hydrangea. The state flower of Georgia.
I'm going to go with the Cherokee one.
Ding. Attaboy. The Cherokee Rose. Leading the NFL in passing attempts with 122, A, Bo Nix, B, Deshaun Watson, C, Caleb Williams, D, Dak Prescott. Leading the NFL in passing attempts with 122, Bo.
I'm going to go with Dak Prescott. They've been down a lot.
How many hot dogs are typically sold in Mercedes-Benz Stadium? They gave away 100,000 of them this past weekend. Is it A, 10 to 12,000, B, 13 to 15,000, C, 16 to 18,000, or D, more than 18,000? How many hot dogs are typically sold in Mercedes-Benz Stadium? A, 10 to 12, B, 13 to 15,000, C, 16 to 18, D, more than 18,000.
Someone just texted you from Mercedes-Benz?
No, I got, yes. Someone just texted me just now from Mercedes-Benz and gave me the exact amount of hot dogs they serve.
Would anybody like to take a guess? All right, now how about this? I'll take off the minus one. Would anybody like to take a guess?
I'll go with D.
Completely wrong. D. Tiff, would you like to take a guess? There's no skin on the line.
Sure. I'll go with, let's say, I bet it's probably C, but I want to say B. So I'm going to say B and be wrong.
It's actually A, 10 to 12,000.
All right. Well.
Samuel L. Jackson was in the house this past weekend at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Now, he made a comment that actually kind of triggered this in my mind. I'll explain in 1 minute. Is Samuel L. Jackson, A, 65 years old?
That he slapped someone that made him play games?
B, 68 years old. C, 72 years old. Or D, 75 years old. 65, 68, 72, or 75?
Let's go 68.
Wrong.
What the hell?
I'll say 72.
He's 65, I bet. What? It's not A.
75?
He is 75.
No way.
Years old. He said on the Jumbotron at the Halo board that he was in college when the Atlanta Falcons was actually founded, which makes him 75 years old. Well, Bo didn't get it right either. So
I was getting a refill.
Let's finish with this one.
What?
Other than Aaron Rodgers, what starter in week three, what starting quarterback in week three has the most career victories? What starter in week three, other than Aaron Rodgers, has the most career victories? Is it A, Matt Stafford, B, Patrick Mahomes, C, Andy Dalton, or D, Kirk Cousins?
Ooh.
A, Matt Stafford, B, Pat Mahomes, C, Andy Dalton, D, Kirk Cousins.
Pat Mahomes passed people that have played longer than him.
Andy Dalton.
All right, then let's go Pat Mahomes.
The correct answer is actually A, Matthew Stafford.
Oh, nice.
99 wins for Matthew Stafford.
So I won that? 8-1.
Yeah, so I think it was actually 1. It actually is negative 1. You're right.
Yeah.
Anyways. Good luck next time, Tiff.
That was,
all right.
That was too easy. I just started guessing at the end because I didn't have any. There was no risk. There's no risk.
I can't be required to play games when I'm not at full strength. I'm not at full capacity.
This man's got his hood up. He swears he ain't at full strength right now.
I can only do the show. That's all. That's where my focus lies.
What do you mean full capacity?
That's where my focus lies, is doing the show. My brain can't be stressed in multiple
different
ways and having to choose multiple choice answers.
Let me fix this for you. Tiffany can't be asked to go against me in a battle of intelligence and wits because she's going to lose every time.
Is that what you want to go
Well,
with?
That's what I'm garnering out of it because destroyed you.
She said she's not at full strength. Look, I don't know what that means.
She's never at full strength going against me.
Bo, I do want to say this. You actually got told the answer to one of these questions during Sunday during the broadcast because Greg Beadle's actually told Wes and Arch the answer to the hot dog question.
I don't want to give like how the sausage is made. Yeah. But I don't have a headset on during that segment because Greg Beatles is using my headset.
Right. That's true.
We got a wake up call coming up. You can call us 404-726-0929. That's next in the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're in our 8 o'clock hour. It is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer for your home today and start packing. Also, stay with us because later on in the show, we are giving away a family four-pack of tickets to the NASCAR Cup Series playoffs in Talladega.
Talladega, baby!
October 6th at the Super Speedway in Alabama. Tickets on sale at Talladega Super Speedway.
It's Dega, baby.
.com. It is also time for our wake-up call. You can call us at 404-726-0929.
0929, baby.
Tiffany,
let's go.
Tiffany, you smell that?
No, I don't.
Burnt rubber.
Oh, that's right.
I don't.
Because you can't smell victory.
No.
Loser.
I'm not even salty about this.
Yes. Wow.
That's fine. You can have it.
It's okay. You're like those kids that can't talk till 10 to 14 months. You're just in the less intelligent group.
Not to change the subject or anything.
You can hold that W high. It is all you.
Not to change the subject or anything. Can I ask the people to weigh in, wake up call wise, about what my wife did to me yesterday? My wife's birthday is Friday. She sent me something that she wanted, some shoes. I didn't pick them out. She sent me what she wanted. And last night they came in the mail. And they were in the mailbox while I was going to get the kids. She texts me and goes, I'd like to wear my shoes to dinner tonight with my friends. And I was like, well, I don't know what shoes you're talking about because it's not your birthday yet. And that package with my name on it doesn't have your name on it. I don't know what you're talking about. So when I came home, the package was open. Shoes were on her feet and she was going to dinner. And I just think she needs a wake up call for that. It's not your birthday yet.
We're adults.
No.
We're adults.
You know what I mean? Now I get to her birthday on Friday and I don't have anything.
She opened it. She knows that.
But the thing is, like, now I have to find, I have to buy something else.
No, you don't.
Now it has to, like, a bottle of wine,
a card. I can't be getting presents early forever.
Yeah. It just ruins it. What's the point? I mean, like, so what am I supposed to do Friday?
At a certain age.
We're just
going to
sing and get a candle?
At a certain age, I'd say past, like, I don't know, I'll say to your 18, so you're out of your family's house. Once you hit that age, birthdays still matter, but it does not matter when you receive the gift in regards to it coming, like, early.
So you're just, it's just a free-for-all.
Like, if my mom's, like, my mom is always
how far
adamant.
Is too far out? A month?
Like my birthday's October. Ago? My mom's already like, what do you want? What do you want?
Right.
So I may just go and, hey, if you are adamant about getting me something, you can either, you know, transfer me XYZ. You can buy this and have it sent to the house. I'll go get it. Whatever. I can go ahead and get it now. It counts.
You know what else? I'm going to have a strongly worded. I'm going to write my mom a strongly worded email because I couldn't tell you the last time I got a gift from her. You know what I mean? I'm going to have words with her. Maybe she should be insistent.
You just want to call her? Email?
Yeah, Dylan, strongly worded email.
Oh, wait.
Yeah,
no. Oh, you're not talking to the public, are you?
I am talking to the public.
Yeah.
You
strongly worded
faint.
Email.
I'm going
anyway,
to go to the line.
Anyways, my wife, now she needs a wake-up call because now I got to find flowers or something
not.
For Friday.
She does
so,
not.
There you go.
We're going to the lines. We got Chief in South Fulton. What's going on, Chief?
What's happening, suitcase killer?
Oh, my headset wasn't plugged in all the way. That's why I couldn't hear.
Suitcase killer.
That's what you called me?
Yo, that was funny, man.
Well, that's your new nickname for this week, suitcase killer.
I'll
start out the right way.
Pride.
Yeah, but you know what, though, Tiffany? You were wrong because your sister gave you a Gucci and you brought her back a Hoochie. That's not good.
What? What?
Yeah. I got a question for you guys, and maybe Tribal Chief can answer this because he was a winner today, so he might know a little more.
That's true.
Tribal Chief, when is the last time that Alabama has played on the University of Georgia campus?
Oh, they played, I think it was 2014 or 15-1. They played.
Am I allowed to help you cheat?
Yeah.
Yes, go ahead.
2015.
Yeah.
I was there.
It was, they, I'm pretty sure they beat Georgia pretty badly in that game.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I was wondering, because every time I turn around, I was like, we playing in Alabama for some reason. Even though I know they do come here and play in the SEC championship all the time. But
you know what happened with that, Chief? I'll tell you. So it was like right when they were supposed to play, like right when the SEC expanded and threw the schedule all off. Because they played in 07, 08, and then they were supposed to play again in like 12 or 13. And when A&M and Mizzou came in, it threw everything into a whirlwind, and they had to back it back again to every 5 years. So it stinks for sure.
All right. Well, glad you guys got to the bottom of that.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
Well, such a ray of sunshine today, too.
Yeah.
That was my whole point with Drew, is they just don't play enough for it to be a rivalry for me. I need some more regular season
and
games.
And they played in Athens in 2015, but when it was finally time for Georgia to go back to Tuscaloosa in 2020, it was COVID year. There's nobody there. There's nobody in the game. So it was that threw everything into a tailspin as well.
We're going back to the lines. We got Will and Mike Smith.
Oh, stay on the horn, Dylan!
Mike Mafia in the house.
Good morning,
what's
Will.
What's happening?
Yeah, what's up,
what's
man?
What's happening?
Yeah, tell me.
Well, not a lot. Just, Mike, I agree with you. I think it's pretty messed up that the wife opened the gift early.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. I think she needs a wake-up call, man. Hopefully she'll
because
get
now you're obligated to go buy another gift.
That's exactly
you're
my
not.
Point, dude.
You're not.
Now
what
I
world?
There's no Tiff, I can't go into Friday empty-handed.
Okay. Yes,
you cannot
can.
Go to the birthday with nothing in there.
What are you even doing Friday? Are you going to dinner? Or are you not? Are you just staying at the house?
That's a secret. Yeah.
Do you really want to be
Mike,
doing
I
this?
I got your back, buddy.
Yeah, thanks,
I got
man.
Your back.
Thank you, Will.
Do you really want to be doing this?
What do you mean?
Do you really want to have your cronies going after your wife on her birthday week? Is this where you want to be?
She might
because
be the
when
wake
Lindsay's
up call,
here,
dude.
Is this? She goes, oh. You had to get your little cronies to come after me.
I don't think
your
she little, talks like that. She'll she'll be more offended the way you just made her sound.
Cronies. Let's go to Charles and Marietta. Good morning, Charles.
Oh, man.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's
love
up, Charles?
Love your show.
Thank you.
Hey, Tiffany.
Yes.
I think the right call was to actually, you know, give a gift card to your sister. And you keep the old suitcase so she could buy a new one.
Oh, my God.
That would have been the right move.
The look on Tiffany's face right now,
she's
not having it right now.
Charles isn't wrong.
He's not.
But I'm going to get her. I'll just get her a new set. so she can be happy.
I thought that you said
you you left that part out.
No, I am. I'm not going to replace the one stupid
Charles, she did leave that part out. You're not you're not wrong.
Because I don't think that part's happened.
That part was just happened just now.
Well, I told her that I was going to get her
I think
reason.
I just gave you that idea.
No, I told her.
You know, I think you did too.
I will get her to call in. She can at least vouch for me.
That's beautiful.
I did tell her I would get her a set because they don't make this color anymore in that suitcase.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
It's a
so thank you for Charles. Thank you so much for that call and bringing her to reality.
Thanks,
you moved the needle on Tiff. She was like, she had this look of shock on her face, and she was like, you know what? Maybe he's right.
I already told her I would get her a new set.
She's also thinking she doesn't listen.
Look, I've got mismatched suitcases, okay?
Anyway. Uh-oh, my wife is FaceTiming me right now. I'm terrified to answer that.
Because you're trash, Mike.
Yeah,
you
I'm absolutely terrified right now.
Answer it.
No,
you know what?
No, I'm not doing
that's
that.
Cool.
No.
I'll call Lindsay. let's go to Skip. What's going on, Skip?
Mike Buffio. Oh, oh, Mike Buffio. What's going on?
Thank you.
Hey, I got a Braves question right quick, but Tiffany, don't worry about Bo. You and Mike, y'all are TV stars. People see y'all on TV. Bo just behind the scenes sticking his tongue. Nobody pay attention to Bo. He's behind the scenes.
Hey, we're the people at the battery sitting at the desk, and he's the kid in the background waving his arms.
Skip, let me ask you a question.
Careful here, Bo. Careful.
How many times has Tiffany and Mike been on TMZ? Because I'm on TMZ quite often.
Negative one.
but see, think about it. You have more people looking at football games than TMZ, right?
I don't think so.
That's right.
I don't know if I agree with that.
That's right. It's the most popular
5-day a week TV show, my friend.
Yeah, I think. Thanks for the call.
All right, and I believe we have one more caller right now.
Well, do we have time? Because we got John Smoltz coming up.
We don't have time. Okay,
Johnny Smoltz.
Darn. Okay. Well.
Gotta
when we come
Smoltz,
back see. Here, we got John Smoltz coming to join us. It's a big matchup for the Braves going down this evening. Get started against the Mets. They are in town. Stay with us. We'll be right back on the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are back here on the WadeFord.com hotline. That is where we find Hall of Fame pitcher, former Atlanta Brave, and now analyst for Fox Sports, John Smoltz, joining us once again on the show. It's good to have you back.
Well, thanks for having me.
Smoltz, you're a guy that's been a part of a lot of these series where there's so much on the line, and obviously this is basically a playoff series before the playoffs start, but what kind of mindset did the Braves have to go into this series to honestly not press too much, but get the best out of them?
Well, I think this is one of those games you have in a regular season that if you left spring training and you told everybody what your roster was going to go through, you would take it. You wish it was the other way. You wish you had a two-game lead. But the reality of a game like this is you have to win it. And, you know, you can't pitch perfect, but what you have to do is pitch as if this is, you know, a game seven. And the reason I say that is because the teeter-totter effect of this game pretty much is drastic, right? Like, you win this game, you're one game back. You lose the game, and now you're really at a point where you can't afford to lose another game the rest of the season. So, mathematically, you're not going to be out of it if you lose this game, but boy, oh boy, it sure puts you way behind the eight ball. So, you know, I used to love these games. Some people hate them because there's no room for error. You got a young man on the mound that is going to be such a dynamic pitcher for quite some time as long as he stays healthy. And this moment probably is not too big for him. I've watched him now pitch, and I've been so impressed with him and what he's done and how he's done it. So I think right man, you know, for the Braves, but they're going up against a really, really hot team.
John, you talked about Schwellenbach, and he's shown up like really big against some of the NL's best teams. What will it take for him to get it done tonight? What do you want to see from him?
Well, the biggest thing is the Mets have shown the ability to big strike kind of power doubles and homers. You just got to – I know it seems simple, but you got to keep the traffic off the bases. If you give up solo home runs, you give up solo home runs. And, you know, I used to live and I still maintain that's the best formula. If three solo home runs beat you, there's nothing you can do about it. But what you want to do is stay away from that big inning that puts your offense really in a bad place. Look, baseball's easier to play when you don't have to rally from a lot of runs. If you're in the game, that allows Brian Snitker to use every asset that he has to keep that game, like I said, a game seven type approach. And that's what they're in up against right now. Luckily they're at home, but you know, the bad news is they're two games back.
You want to talk about big moments, John. Chris Sale, and I've actually heard Chris Sale compared to you in a lot of ways when you rise to occasion in these big moments. You just mentioned the fact that these games where you always love these kind of games. Now, look, when you go to the last start for Chris Sale, his fastball is kind of dipping below 90 miles an hour. I think you get to the end of the year, and obviously he's the Cy Young favorite at this point. But how do you balance that when you head into that matchup with Chris Sale tomorrow night? As good of a pitcher as he is, you obviously want them to go in and win the game, but he also has just recently shown a couple of signs of fatigue. You know, if you're Brian Snitker, what's the mindset with Chris Sale on the bump tomorrow?
Well, the good news about Chris Sale, he knows how to pitch. So despite whatever his fastball is, his angles of delivery and the way that he throws off speed creates an illusion that he doesn't have to throw 96. But I think the biggest thing that Chris will have working for him is adrenaline. And the adrenaline can also work against a traditional hard-throwing pitcher that doesn't really know how to pitch. And we see that happen when young men know how to throw a baseball 98, but then the command and the adrenaline don't work. I don't think that's the case for Chris Sale. And at this point in the season, you don't really pay attention to the fatigue. That's the one game that allows you to kind of go out there and you know that's your last start. And then you're hoping that you get a postseason start. So it really is one of those rare moments when you get to the end of the year and you know this is it. And you basically leave everything you have on that game and you see what happens.
Smoltz, I think Marcell Ozuna has been the best player on the Braves all year, but Matt Olson has been through some huge struggles through the season. It just felt like at times he felt lost at the plate, but here we are. We're September. He's playing his best baseball, and when we get done with the year, he's probably going to have yet another 30 home run, 100 RBI season. Crazy. It's going to look kind of like a back of the baseball card type year, but he's struggled tremendously. How has he gotten through this season and now being able to play his best baseball?
Well, last year, when you have an offense like that and the pressure's on the pitcher, everybody benefits. And when you have holes in your lineup to which you just don't have the fear factor of certain components in your lineup, it takes out some of the strengths of, let's just say, Matt Olson or the length of the lineup. And I think you get pitched differently. You can go into a funk mechanically. And I think for Matt Olson, he historically has been a very streaky hitter. And when he goes on a hot streak, he can carry a ball club. And this is the issue when you have an Acuna hurt, Riley, all the different components that people forget that when a pitcher is pitching to a lineup card, and they see certain things are gone, it's way easier to pitch. And, you know, right now the timing could be great if he continues to be that catalyst to carry the ball club, because Ozuna has done that all year. It's been amazing. And if it weren't for a historic kind of run out of Ohtani, and I think Ozuna would be right there in the MVP.
Hanging out with John Smoltz, former Brave. John, now, this is a rivalry series, right? I mean, the Mets and the Braves go back a long time. There's been a lot of, kind of chapters to this rivalry, although I think it has taken a little bit of a backseat to the Phillies and the Braves here recently. But any memories you have of facing off with the Mets and just how emotional some of these games can be?
Well, you know, rivalries are only as good as the two teams being good, right? And certainly there were some periods where we faced the Mets in the playoffs, and for the most part, we had the we had the run of the division. And I think right now, over the last couple of years, so much expected of the Mets. We know what happened last year and the year before. And all of a sudden, the Mets had turned around a very subpar year into kind of a historic run for them starting August 1st. They've been the best baseball team in the big. So give them credit. I mean, they were – when you look at the first 2 months, they were nowhere to be found, and the Braves were still in a position of holding down that wild card for most of the year and typically got chased down by the Mets. So the rivalries in baseball, you hope, continue because it's good for divisions. It's good for division races. I mean, the rivalries with the Phillies, you think about the Phillies' first divisional win since 2011. So that just shows you what an incredible job the Atlanta Braves have done over the last 6 or 7 years. So the future of the NL East is in really, really good hands because the future of those three teams seem to be good for a while.
John, you liken tonight's matchup to being like a Game 7, and you've obviously played in tremendous, huge, significant games. What does it feel like to have a game like this at home?
Well, that's the best part. I say to people all the time, when you have the roar of the crowd on your side, you got to ride it, but you can't let that roar take you to places that get outside of your mechanics, right? You can know that when the roar is happening, good things are happening. On the flip side, you've got to, if you're on the road, you want to keep it to a dull roar, and so you use the roar one way or the other to your advantage. And in games like this, I would anticipate, you know, the Atlanta Braves crowd knows what this game means. So it should be an electric environment. And that is good for a player if he doesn't get too excited and allow himself to get outside of himself. And that's easier said than done. But the Braves have a lot of players who have been there, done that. That's where experience helps. And when you're going through it for the first time, you tell yourself you're ready for it, but then there's that out-of-body experience that you got to calm yourself down. It's all about the heartbeat. And if you have a slow heartbeat during these moments, that's when players can flourish.
Well, you must have had a slow heartbeat in Game 7 of that 91 World Series.
Dude,
where,
I was thinking the same
I mean,
thing.
That was probably the greatest pitcher's duel in the history of Game 7s, John. I mean, how slow was your heart that night?
You know, I tell people all the time, this is not a guaranteed formula, but if you don't want to be in that moment for the longest time in your life as a child or growing up, then you're not going to perform in that moment. But it doesn't guarantee that the want to means it's going to be the execution. And I just think that my simplest formula, and I tell people all the time, is I just wasn't afraid to fail. And that's not where a lot of people live, because they don't want to be exposed. And I was not afraid of the moment. And the moment, to me, when you talk about pressure, somebody tells you that this is the last game you'll ever pitch. Now, that's pressure. But as far as I knew, that wasn't going to be the last game I was going to pitch. And this is something that I wanted to do ever since I was 7 years old. And I'll just tell you, that's what I miss most right now. I love competition. I love competing. But I get a chance to sit in the seat now and call these games and get to kind of see these guys and their performances under some extreme circumstances, and it's still a lot of fun, even though I can't be out there doing it.
I got a hypothetical for you, because this is something that runs through my mind. I think Shohei Ohtani is having one of the greatest years as a baseball player ever. He's obviously one of the better hitters in baseball. I need 2002, 2003, Thunderstruck's playing, John Smoltz is running out of the bullpen at Turner Field, and Shohei Ohtani is at the plate, and you've got to get him out to win the game. How are you going to attack a hitter like that?
Well, depending on if there's anybody on base or not, I'm going to prey on his aggressiveness. He's an extremely gifted hitter, but he's going to have to hit one of my splits or a slider back foot. And then, you know, there are areas to get him out. You just have to be very precise. You've got to expand the zone up, but you've got to get him to reach for something. If you do not make those areas enticing for him, he can take and wait for a mistake. And his bat and his power are electric, And I think it's no different than a Barry Bonds, where Barry Bonds had a coffee can strike zone, and you just could not miss on Barry Bonds because he wasn't going to expand the zone. The one thing that's unique about Ohtani is he will expand the zone, but then here's the problem. If you think you can pitch around him and he gets on first, then he's going to create pressure on the bases. So the early Barry Bonds did the same thing. He ran. We see this with Ohtani, and I think this is the last year we're going to see this kind of running, though, which is interesting and why he's piling up so many stolen bases. Because once he pitches next year, he's not going to be running at this rate.
That was the most insightful answer to a hypothetical situation
I have ever heard.
We would have loved to have seen that matchup. Yes. John, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure, and it's going to be an exciting week.
Looking forward to it. That was Hall of Fame pitcher and former Atlanta Brave and baseball analyst for Fox Sports, John Smoltz, joining us here. So that was pretty awesome there. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Also, you should call in to try to win those NASCAR tickets. It's a four-pack of tickets to the NASCAR Cup Series in Talladega Sunday, October 6th.
Talladega, baby!
At Talladega Super Speedway. You can get your tickets on sale at
TalladegaSuperSpeedway.com.
Got Life of Squid next.
I do.
Dega. Oh, okay. No, I'm sorry.
Is one NFL superstar out of shape?
Ooh.
We'll talk about it next on the Morning Show, Sports Radio 929 The Game, and
the Odyssey app.
That's right. Little W sauce, little breakfast sauce, little Bloody Mary mix. Key West style. It's Garrett Chapman approved. Don't forget, there will be some Bloody Mary mix at the Brown Grass Charity Golf Classic on November 25th. I should have talked to Smoltz about maybe playing and being on my team.
Yeah.
Team Squid.
I think that's probably against the rules. I don't think that.
How so?
I don't know. If we're going to start identifying ringers that far in advance, then I'll have to get on the phone myself. You know?
Yeah, who you gonna call, Matt?
I don't know, Justin Thomas, maybe. Well, you might.
You guys name dropping? I turned my mic on.
Yeah, I don't know.
You've been full of sass today, Michael.
In all reality, I could talk to John Smoltz all day long about baseball, like the Ohtani stuff. The stuff runs through my head all the time, like that. I don't ever get to ask. So I was like, I want to ask because he mentioned Ohtani in the interview. But real quick, November 25th, get over to the 92.9 The Game website, go to the events page, Tiffany. You put the clap, you click on it, you get Brown Grass Charity Classic. Boom. And it'll give you all the details.
Boom.
Since you guys want to name drop people that you can call and you want to be sassy today, Michael, why don't we just go back to the lines, Dylan?
Back to the lines.
Bring in the next caller.
Caller, this is my segment.
What are you talking about?
Hello, secret caller.
Hello. How are you guys doing?
Oh yeah, Lindsay. Oh my gosh, we are doing amazing.
Hey,
we are, you know, and
great.
Lindsay,
I'm always for making Lindsay a little bit uncomfortable. And
I know
that he called you out today on
air. I know it's her birthday week, but she's hijacking my segment.
It's too bad.
Well, you know, that's just par for the course for your birthday week. So, I know I'd have to defend myself at some point, but I really did not think it would have to be my birthday week. Here we are, I guess.
I'm so mad at
more
five different people right now.
Hey, I'm talking right now. Are you wearing the shoes, Lindsay?
Yes. I wore them last night. I wore them this morning. I love them. This is why I picked them out.
Yeah.
What kind of shoes are these that you can wear all the time?
Yeah.
They're Birkenstocks.
Man. But can you, since you called in, lovely wife of mine, if you would like to explain to all these people that I will indeed be on the hook for giving you a gift on Friday, even though you already received your shoes. Can we explain that one out loud or no?
Well, so this is how I look at it. Okay. So the Birkenstocks.
Tell us how you look at it.
Birkenstocks is my gift from you, my husband, but I still have a gift coming from my children and my dog.
There we go.
Have at least two. If we really want to, like, be technical, I get three because I have two children and a dog. but I'm willing to compromise and they can have a joint gift.
Everybody involved in this is now on restriction, and that includes you, Bo, because I have a feeling like you knew this was happening.
I didn't do this. They hijacked my segment.
Dylan's on thin ice, and Lindsay, you are probably not, because I'm scared of you.
This is the only time I'm allowed to talk about me. Why would I give it to you?
Thank you for calling in and setting the record straight.
Unbelievable.
Anytime. You guys let me know next time I need to defend myself.
And Mike, I just want to remind you, it's my job to just be creative.
Hold on.
On this show.
Before she goes, Wow. I tell you what, we are just, there are strays everywhere. Yeah. I will say this, Lindsay. I did defend you during wake-up call when his little cronies called in to attack you.
I appreciate that. Now I know where my alliances are.
Oh, okay. You have a great day.
Have a great day, Lindsay.
You have a great one. Thank you.
Oh, I'm glad we could set the record straight, that we could, you know.
The record has been set straight. I will be forced to buy her another gift on Friday. We set that one straight for sure.
So once you know, I had nothing to do with that. I was, my segment was hijacked.
I don't believe you.
Do you think I would give up my segment to set you up?
Wait till I get Amy on this show. You're not done.
Never.
I'm about to hijack your segment again. It's still talking about NASCAR, so you should be happy with that, because we are doing now, apparently, two winners for the rest of the week for the... Go ahead. You guys want to do your thing? You don't want to scream Talladega? No? Okay.
Maybe,
that's fine.
But you haven't said it yet.
Well, they have won a 4-pack of tickets to the NASCAR Cup Series playoffs in Talladega.
Talladega, baby!
October 6th at Talladega Super Speedway.
Talladega, baby!
The winners are Benjamin from Decula and John from Gainesville. So congratulations to Benjamin and John. Two winners now for the rest of the week. So be sure to call in. You can get your tickets on sale now at Talladega Super Speedway.
Talladega!
It's Dega, baby!
.com.
I know we're running short on time, but I did tease it. Todd McShay had some things about Travis Kelce, and I want to, do we have time to play it, Dylan? We'll play it, and I want you guys to give quick thoughts on it.
Are we not allowed to say that he's out of shape, that he's been partying all offseason? He's been jet-setting around with the most famous person probably in the entire world. The coverage and the respect he gets is the same. The athlete is not. Now, is he going to work himself into shape during the season? Yeah, I'm sure he will. He's an unbelievable competitor. He's one of the best to ever do it, but he's not the same guy right now.
This to me,
I don't have any problem with that.
But you can't make assumptions. You see that he's jet setting, but you can't make assumptions he's not training.
No, I can make a statement based on what we've seen,
on the field.
Yeah, and I don't think he's in good shape.
What do you think about the pouty face? What do you think about the pouty faces he was making on the sidelines on Sunday night?
I think he looked tired. I mean, that's just the bottom line. I think it's fair game to say that. I don't think it's out of the realm. If you're talking about play on the field, I'm not going to talk about his girlfriend or his love life or whatever else it is, but I think he does look tired on the field. I think that's safe to say.
So it's one thing to say that, but to drag in what he did and be like, he's been jet setting with the most famous woman
probably
in the world.
Probably so.
I don't know.
I think if you're going to...
It's like fans saying he shouldn't be on vacation, he should be training.
I don't think that... But Travis doesn't have problem getting all the positives that come with that. So, I mean, look, it is what it is, man. He's on more commercials than anybody else in the NFL now.
I'll say this. Somebody made a meme, and it had Travis Kelce bearded, like doing, like, you know, a celebration with his arms out, like looking all jacked up and everything. And then they go, before... Taylor Swift. And then the one after goes, and it shows him on the sideline Sunday night, and he's got that weird mustache, and he's looking all dejected with that haircut, and it says, after Taylor Swift.
So lame. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. You don't know what goes on in people's lives. We'll be right back to find out what's coming up in the steakhouse.
She ruined
it. Stay with us. Oh, my. You know what?